Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As we said, even though Christmas season might be winding down, it's actually pretty appropriate today to say Merry Christmas. There are some churches, the Orthodox Church, that celebrates Christmas right around this time. January 6th is the Epiphany. There's some that the Orthodox Church actually celebrates on January 7th, but many Orthodox churches, they see this Epiphany, the revealing of the Savior to the Gentiles, as the day to celebrate Christmas. Kids probably wouldn't mind that, right? Another Christmas to celebrate. I know some people have been still celebrating Christmas, having parties. So that seems understandable that we continue to celebrate Christmas. But as we look at this, as the Christmas message that we've been hearing about is a good news of great joy. Today we hear that's going to be for all people. This special news is for all people, this amazing news of a Savior being born. What we're going to see is that this news has very different reactions from people. What is that maybe similar to? Well, this afternoon, there's a few games, right? Very important week in the NFL season where some teams, if you win, you get to go on to the playoffs. If you don't, you're done. Kind of already the playoffs in some ways for some teams. And as the final whistle blows, the news of who wins today, Packers versus Bears, the news will be taken by people in very different ways, right? Packers fans, if Packers win, are going to be excited and just overjoyed. Bears fans, not very happy. And if the Bears win, the Bears are going to be able to rub it in and talk about how they kept the Packers out, and Packer fans aren't going to be very happy, right? Same news, but very different reactions. I think one of the greatest examples of that is going to be later this year, an election year, when a president is elected, and there will be very different reactions from people in our nation when whoever is elected, that news is read that that person is president. Some people are going to be overjoyed, and some people are going to be frustrated and upset and talk about what's going to happen in the next 4 years, right? So the same news can have very different reactions. As we see the news that comes, though, we see this news comes kind of from an interesting beginning. We know that the Epiphany really starts with these wise men, right? But it's always good to look and kind of compare the truth and opposed to like the legend of the wise men, right? They're often they're wise men or magi. We know that's true, but often they're wearing crowns in pictures, right? One of the most famous songs, "We Three Kings." We don't think that they're royalty, but they were probably astronomers and wise men who knew about this prophecy. Another thing is, how many were there? We often say there's three, but the reason we say that is there were three gifts. There could have been more. And one of the most important things, too, is often in the manger scene, right? We have the Jesus and the Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and the wise men are right there. The proper place for them to be would be like way over there, right? Because we read in Matthew where they come to. They come and they meet them in a house. We know that this is probably after Jesus had been taken to the temple. And then when we hear later that Herod finds out that they go home a different way, that he says he's going to look for children 2 years and younger. So sometime it's either several months to almost 2 years after Jesus was born. But when we find out they come, where do they come from? Most likely Babylon or Persia. What that area, why would they know about this? What's interesting is they probably knew about this because of some hardships and difficulties in the Israel life in the past, right? We know Daniel and other Israelites were taken into captivity. But Daniel and people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faithful to God, and they continued to worship God, and they brought their teachings and probably shared their teachings. And Daniel was very respected. And so the writings he brought down about his God was probably still very important. And so these wise men knew about this prophecy probably because of something difficult like captivity. But we see the blessings of sharing our faith in difficult situations as these wise men knew about a coming Savior. But what's interesting is we talk about that this is the revealing of the Messiah to the Gentiles. Where's the first preaching of the gospel in this lesson? What's interesting as it begins is, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's actually the Magi, the wise men, who come and proclaim the gospel first. This is good news from afar. And it's fascinating to think about that, because the people close, they're the ones that should have known about it, right? But through this series of events, the wise men get to be the ones who come and share the gospel. And I think there's that encouragement to think about how God can use you in different circumstances, in different ways, how that gospel can go out, not just through good times, but in difficult times, and how you can share that message maybe with people that you think, oh, I don't need to share with that person, right? But here we have wise men coming to Jerusalem and sharing the gospel. And what did it cause them to do? It said, when we saw the star and we have come to worship him. This is good news that causes worship. They came and traveled a long, long way, and they first come to Jerusalem. And one reason that we know that they're from afar is they come to Jerusalem. And they come and talk to King Herod. King Herod was actually very famous for putting away people who were challenging his throne. Even family members, he was very jealous, and he would kill family members and others who were trying to take the throne. And so do you think it's very wise for the wise men to come and say, hey, we heard that there's this King of the Jews born. Where is he? Herod was disturbed, right? But they come there, and then they go on to worship in Bethlehem. It describes how the worship is. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And the Greek here, it's kind of, overjoyed is a simplification of what it is. It's just filled with joy and just so excited. And you can imagine, right? They've traveled from so far, and they've come and they see their Savior, and they come and they bring gifts. They bow down and worship him, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, they get to share this good news with Mary and Joseph, that they've come to worship their Savior. And what great gifts of worship, and how they come to find their Savior. And again, their gifts show that they probably knew a little bit about who he was going to be, or God worked through the gifts to give it some interesting meaning, right? The gold is easy to understand, that he was going to be king. He is the king. Frankincense was used in worship, as a priest would serve on behalf of the people, as Jesus would serve on behalf of us. And then the myrrh, though. Myrrh is the more kind of gut-wrenching one that was used in burials. And so just as we heard last week with Simeon talking about, even though he would be a light to the Gentiles, he kind of already talked about what the cross would bring. Here, the wise men point forward to the work of the Savior, that he would be the king, a priest, and he would come to live and die for us. That was something they came to worship, though. They knew what this meant, how special it was. This is the reaction of the wise men. But you think about how excited they were to travel, how excited they were to go. Is that always how we feel when we think about Jesus and going to worship, right? When was the last time you got excited to go travel somewhere? When was the last time you really got excited to go and do something? And I'd say, honestly, does that happen that often for us in worship? Maybe not as much, right? But how excited we should be to dig into his word, to come into worship. Maybe you feel that way on those holidays of Christmas and Easter. But how blessed it is that we get to go and bow down before our Savior in worship daily, in his word, but also together and worship and to bring our praises and our offerings. But we see that for some, they come in worship and there's excitement like the wise men. We have that feeling, I think, sometimes, but then we have the feelings, maybe the other reaction that comes up. We see that Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And then he called the chief priests together. And what's interesting is he says, where was this Messiah to be born? And they say, in Bethlehem. They knew what the prophecy said. They read the prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. It's interesting, there's kind of two reactions in there though, right? We see the reaction that there's this king born, and what does Herod do? He's disturbed, he's angry. We're going to see what he does in anger later as well. But then, I think what's always fascinating to me is the chief priests, right? They say, yeah, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men say, oh, we saw the star. He's probably born. And do you hear about a caravan? Do you hear like, oh, the chief priests, they get excited. The religious people, they all say, oh, this Messiah's come. No. They kind of take this good news and go on like nothing happened. So you see the two reactions, apathy and anger to this news. Right? That some receive this news and they're like, okay, just another day. Or the anger. For Herod, the anger that someone is going to challenge his throne. And the people were disturbed with him. We hear what happens later, after our text, that as the wise men are warned to go another way, Herod gets angry, and what does he do? He orders the murder of the boys two and under in Bethlehem, the death of the innocents. He could not handle the opposition. Some people hear about a Savior, they hear about a Lord, and they get angry, or they just say, nah, doesn't matter. Do we sometimes fall into those categories as well? The apathy. As we grow tired and do it over and over again, go through the motions. It can become easy, right? And we can maybe lose that excitement, that joy. But what about the anger? Is that us, or are those just those atheists or the people who are angry at Christianity? What about us when Jesus says he's Lord, which means his way goes, right? That it's not all about us. It's not about our ways. It's about his ways, how he says life should go. and what is right and wrong to do? Do we ever get angry with what God says? Do we struggle with saying He's Lord, that He's right? Or that it's okay that things are the way He says they are? When my sinful nature butts up against His law and says, no, I want it this way. Or that's silly or deserve a little bit of fun, right? We know that inside each and every one of us, we have our sinful natures that struggle to praise, struggle to see Him as Lord and call Him Lord. Because we want to make ourselves Lord and make it all about us. And so we too have to see where we struggle with anger and apathy at this Lord, the Savior who has come for us, but we know sometimes a struggle to see, a struggle to praise and to make important in our lives, and for us to call Him Lord. But we see how important and what it means for us as we look at those gifts again, right? That He's come to die for us and He forgives us of all of those sins. Those times we doubt, the times we struggle with our sins. And He says all of those sins are washed clean. How do we know? The prophecy, right? One will come who will be a ruler, He'll be a king, but He will also be a shepherd. Us foolish sheep who turn and struggle to know where to go, He's going to guide us and be with us. He's going to shepherd us our whole lives and bring us eternal joy and peace, right? So what does that bring about? I think just like these wise men, who traveled so far, who didn't know what they were facing when they came to Herod, and we see this again because they had to be warned not to go tell Herod about the baby. They were warned by God to go a different way, to not return. But what did it cause in these wise men? But it caused action. It caused them to come to Jerusalem, come to Bethlehem to worship and to share this amazing message with many people and with Mary and Joseph. And I'm sure on their way back, they shared that message, and we don't hear what it was like, but I'm sure they went back sharing that good news of worshiping and seeing this Messiah. What does this good news cause in us? What actions does it cause? I hope it causes us to share that good news as well, to go out and to be a light, so that others may know of that peace and forgiveness. And in the same way that these wise men were far off or just a small group, and Bethlehem was just a small place, sometimes we can look at Morrison and we just say, oh, we're just a small church, right? And we look around and, you know, the average church membership is 100 people. That's not attendance. Attendance is much smaller than that. We have more than probably 100 here today, right? We're a good-sized church. And we can look and ask, what can God bring about through us? That even through a small church, who can we impact? We can impact those around us, our friends, our family, our co-workers, and we can share that good news. We can love them and show compassion to them and point them to that Savior, that Jesus came for all people. And we can see that people from here have gone out to the world. We have missionaries around the world that are connected to our church. We have teachers who are teaching around the United States and even outside of the United States. And we can look broadly around the world, but then come back and say, yes, I could serve somewhere else, but also God has called me to serve here. To be a light, to drive me to action, that Christ's love has compelled you to be a light. To show that mercy and grace that God has given you with others. To know that this good news is for you and for all people. And what a joy that it is that we can worship and share that news with those around us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.